Good morning. It's good to be celebrating again with you. We're looking at Isaiah 42, the first 9 verses, but specifically verse 3. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. Let us pray. Our loving eternal Heavenly Father, thank you. We can come before you again today. We do so through no right of our own, but through Jesus, our King and our Redeemer. And we're honest, Father, we want you to do that work which this verse describes. We feel bruised. We feel that we're about to go out. The light's flickering. And we want you to do a new work in our lives. Would you, by your Spirit, act in grace upon us? Would you do something which will really help us and minister so that we can truly be more and more like we ought to be, like your Son? And I pray that we'll just have that amazing work of grace as we sit under the ministry of your word today. Come, Holy Spirit, and be glorified through us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Duke of Norfolk once sent a priceless family treasure to the King of England as an expression of his love and esteem. It was the Portland vase, a rare antique which had been handed down for generations. Wanting to share this treasure with the nation, the king had the vase placed in the British Museum. Sometime later, however, disaster struck. Someone in a drunken stupor smashed the vase. The attendants came running, but it was too late. The priceless treasure was smashed. "Save every piece," the king said when hearing of the tragedy. "This is my most treasured gift. We'll search for someone who can repair it, no matter what it costs." Eventually, someone was found who could do the work. Working for long months with painstaking skill, they sorted the broken, fragmented vase and meticulously repaired it. Apparently, the Portland vase is still on display in the British Museum, and its lines of restoration hardly seen. When I read this story, I thought, what an illustration of God's dealing with mankind, with us, well, more to the point, with me. Smashed by life's experience, yet he comes again and does his restoration work. In chapter 42, we have a God answering to this no one to help in chapter 1. In some way, God needs to break into the world and set things right. And this would be the only way through. So out of this void begins to emerge a servant, a prophetic description of Jesus, the Messiah, empowered and equipped by God's Spirit. He's the one that watches out for the poor. He values the damage. He speaks truth. He comes to set things right. If you remember last week, we looked at him being the servant of justice, the servant of light, and the servant of salvation. This week, the servant of compassion. Jesus is gentle and compassionate, full of humility. Consider his own words from Matthew 11. "I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." You see, this servant is different. Jesus Christ is different. Jesus Christ welcomes the broken, the fragiles of this world, you and me. Listen again to verse 3. "A bruised reed he will not break, a smouldering wick he will not snuff out." Here we learn what the servant will not do to bruised reeds, but it does not say what he will do. And if you ask God what he was going to do with a weak, useless, bruised, bent over reed, he will say that his plan is to heal, to restore, and to transform it. What an amazing thought as we continue to go through COVID-19 experiences and the rest of 2020, whatever that might mean. Before us is Jesus, leading us, ministering to us, acting on our behalf. And he's the one that majors in stepping in when everyone else steps out. Here in verse 3, there's a beautiful picture of the work and the ministry of Christ. First of all, the objects of his kingdom, bruised reeds. Isaiah is telling us that people can become bruised, hurt, and knocked over. Today, there are many knocked over and knocked down by other people, or by disease and sickness, by the thoughtlessness and carelessness of others. The word bruised, by the way, is used to refer to oppression and discouragement in someone's life. We've all been bruised reeds from time to time, haven't we? We've all experienced times when we felt like this. Even maybe it's today, many of us feel useless, perhaps not worth saving. And even when we are correct in our self-observation, the servant portrayed here, Jesus will not break us, discard us, or snuff us out. Listen to Psalm 34. Just listen. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. To Jesus, nothing and no one is useless. Redpath says, think again of that reed. Something has been crushed or hurt by unkindness. A life that is somehow bent and bruised and shattered without strength or beauty. There's nothing attractive about a reed. And there's certainly nothing very pleasant about the circumstances in which it lives. Yet Jesus is the one who restores. Do you want to check it out? Did he do this when he walked this earth? Well, look at Luke 18. The Pharisee and the publican praying. The Pharisee was righteous in his own eyes. Felt really good. The publican, however, was truly a bruised reed. He stood at a distance, ashamed even to look up to heaven. And he simply cries out, "Have mercy upon me, a sinner." Jesus asked, which one went home justified? The publican or the Pharisee? The publican went home justified, the bruised reed. In Luke 13, we read of a woman who was bent over like a broken reed for 18 years. Jesus saw her, he called her, he touched her, and he set her free. Or the woman who'd been suffering from bleeding for 12 years, spent everything she had, became an outcast. If only I could just touch the hem of his garment. She's bent over, useless, no good to anybody, yet she touched him and she was healed. Or about the man who was possessed by a legion of demons, or blind Bartimaeus, the before and after testimonies of life-changing encounters, scene after scene of sorrow eclipsed by joy, by purpose, or defeating pain. Hope outshining hurt. Bruised reeds becoming whole. Tell me, why are these stories in the Bible, do you think? Why are the Gospels full of such people, such hopeless people? Though their situations vary, their conditions don't. They are trapped, estranged, rejected. They've nowhere to turn. On the lips, a desperate prayer. In their hearts, desolate dreams. Why are these stories here? So we could look back with amazement at what Jesus did? No, no. The purpose of these stories is not to tell what Jesus did. Their purpose is to tell us what Jesus does. What he does. What he can do today. Are you a bruised reed? Was it so long that you stood so tall, so sure? Then something happened. You were bruised by harsh words. By a friend's anger. Maybe a spouse's betrayal. Or by your own failure, by religion's rigidity, and you've been wounded badly. All those thoughts, if someone knew the secret I kept, what would they think of me? Is God's soul displeased with me? I'm not good enough at all. Do these thoughts, ideas resonate with you? Feeling that some are so quick to dispense with us. But Jesus is not. Jesus is not. One example is a woman found in adultery. When Jesus encountered her, she was to be stoned. The men who were quick to judge, Jesus came on the scene and started writing on the ground. One theory is that he was listing their sins. They wanted to kill this bruised reed, have done with her. But Jesus didn't. He wanted justice. He wanted restoration. Jesus, while not condoning her sin, restored her. Judgmental religion would let her suffer. Jesus would not. Rules and regulation religion would break the bruised reed and condemn it for not being whole. But Jesus would heal and would restore the bruised reed. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says that God chose the weak things of this world rather than the strong. God chooses us, you and I, not because we have so much to offer, but because of what he can do in our lives. Don't ever forget that. We need to understand that in the midst of our failures, God is there for us. And if you're feeling empty today, a wee bit helpless, maybe it's hopeless, if you're feeling bruised, I can do nothing better than point you to Jesus. There's always hope in him. an eternal future guaranteed in and through his blood, in and through, this, through the sacrifice and also the victory of the resurrection, the strength for this moment. Lay hold of the promises that Jesus gives to us today. 1 Corinthians 10 says, there's no temptation that has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. The objects of his kingdom, the bruised reed. The object of his new kingdom is a smouldering wick. Redpath says, we call ourselves Christians, but if you're like me, sometimes you are desperately ashamed of how dimly your light burns. There is far more smoke than fire. So little prayer, so little real testimony, so much depression and discouragement. The Lord says, you will not extinguish the smoking flax. It is a picture of the believer who is losing his flame. Rather than putting the flame out, Jesus is patient, and Jesus encourages the flame to ignite. Like Paul, Jesus says, fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. In those days, they had to light their homes with oil lamps. The bowls were filled with oil and contained a wick made of flax or linen. And as long as the wick would stay moist with the oil, it would burn. Occasionally, when the oil would burn out, the wick would smoulder and burn and give off smoke. The thing to do was to extinguish it, toss it away, start again with a new one. The imagery here is that Jesus will not extinguish such a dimly burning wick. The people who are exhausted or burnt out in their Christian lives. This is a metaphor for a weak, doubting and struggling believer, one who sins so much, dishonors God, who denies Jesus, yet God in his grace does not throw us out. He restores us. Isaiah 61 says, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to set people free. This is the compassionate ministry of our God. Paul says, Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. I could put my name there too. You know, there are many in the church that often get dumped. I've seen it. As a pastor, I've seen it. People often say, I can't believe that he or she would do that. Yoni Erickson Tada, who has suffered for years since she broke her neck as a teenager, was paralyzed. Listen to her words. She said, I'd rather be in this wheelchair knowing God than on my feet without him. In other words, if it took paralysis to bring her to God, it was worth 1,000 times over. And if you don't believe that, it may be because you don't really know God yet. She said, God accomplishes something positive out of the negatives of life. God accomplishes something positive out of the negatives of life. You know, the most common reason for a smoky wick is that the fuel supply has run out. There are times when we haven't much oil in our lamp. Perhaps we've neglected prayer, Bible, or worship, and our spiritual life begins to suffer. A smoking wick is ineffective. It does not produce the light it should. Maybe you are here this morning, and at one time you were on fire for the Lord, but now your relationship is waning and growing dim. In fact, you might feel like you're on the verge of going out. Jesus is here. And he just wants to fan the flickering flame. He wants to bring back the light. He wants to revive your spirit. And he will do it today, if you allow him to. A couple of years ago, Alice and I were able to go to Paris with some very special friends. And we saw the Arc de Triomphe, the famous memorial to the French soldiers who died in the war. You know, every day they perform a ritual that is called replenishing the eternal flame. Replenishing the eternal flame. A military officer walks up to the flickering flame. He takes his sword and he touches a button at the base of the memorial. This touch simply replenishes the oil and the flame burns brightly once more. Do you know what? That's what Jesus wants to do for you and for me. He wants to replenish you. He doesn't want to put the fire out, but instead he wants us to fire up. Jesus wants to give you a fresh infusion of his spirit. How does this servant repair, restore broken and burnt out lives? The answer, this servant was bruised and crushed on our behalf. He paid the price so that you and I might live and live in all its fullness. The servant's task is not about gathering the strong, it's about justice for the weak. In faithfulness, verse 4 says, in faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth, until he has set things right, until he has finished the work you give me to do, Jesus says. This servant is so different than anyone could have thought of. If God was going to break into the world on behalf of his people, trapped in a pattern they could not escape from, trapped in Babylon, trapped in rebellion, trapped in sin, surely he would do it in a loud, attention-grabbing, power-packed individual who rode at the head of a mighty army. No. Here, the new servant, empowered and equipped by God's Spirit, is humble, gentle, faithful, and committed to the point of death. He's the one that watches out for the poor. He values the damage. He speaks truth, and he comes to set things right. And God is going to do a new thing through Jesus, the one who came, not to be served, but to serve. And he wants to do that new thing through you and I, a bruised reed and a smoking flax. But will you allow him? Will you allow him to do it? My final story is about an African pastor who was told to renounce his faith, and he refused. The night before they took his life, he wrote, "I have Holy Spirit power. The die has been cast. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of his. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, or turned back. I won't be diluted or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversity, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up. I won't shut up, let up, or burn up till I preached up, prayed up, paid up, stored up, and stayed up for the cause of Christ." Oh, I wish that we in the Church of Christ today, the Kingdom people of God, would say the same. Despite what may have been broken, despite the countless times I have failed God, God takes the broken, the cast-offs, the worn-outs, and gives new blessing to them that this passage talks about. Israel didn't deserve another chance. Gentiles don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. But God's doing it, and may he do it in your life and my life today, for his glory. Amen.